It is a privilege to be in this meeting today. Appreciate the blessings of the Lord.
Yes, glory, glory, glory.
Every message has challenged me.
Hey, is this for you?
My heart and encouraged me to seek greater things from God. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
I really appreciate this preaching.
Oh, I do.
Every man who stood in this pulpit and preached has been a blessing to me. And I thank the Lord for it. Praise God. On behalf of your brethren, sisters in Mexico and Colombia, we appreciate so very much your support of Holiness Full Gospel Missions. They're unable to come and express to you personally their gratitude, but I'll assure you they are very appreciative and they do pray for you. Praise God. Brother Darrell's been down. We've had several meetings with different men over the last few years, and they do pray for you, and we appreciate on their behalf. Thank you for your concern for them, your prayers, your support. And also, I'll say this, that whenever you have opportunity and feel like coming, it is a tremendous blessing. Just as when a pastor, when an evangelist comes by and reinforces the very messages you've been preaching, the doctrines and the standards that you've endeavored to preach to your people, then a good man comes by and just reinforces that, perhaps in an evangelistic way. How that is an encouragement to you and your church, it's the same way when you brothers come and preach in these foreign countries. These other missionaries can attest to that. It is a blessing. Praise God. Thank you for the work, all the men. I don't know who they are. Brother Thomas is planning on giving me a list of all the people that's participated in this cabinet project. Obviously, Debbie and I will directly reap the benefits of your efforts, and we appreciate it so very much. May the Lord bless you for that. Praise God. I do want to say, while you're turning to Mark chapter 10, that the work of God is progressing in spite of all the issues that are currently facing Mexico. The work of God is going forward. I thank God for that. God's got people all over this world. He really does. Some are going to church and serving under difficult conditions. They really are, economically, physically. But there's a desire in their heart to serve God. And I'll tell you, that is encouraging to me, humbling. It just touches my heart. It really does, to see these brothers and sisters serving the Lord in the conditions that they serve God. I'm convinced without a doubt in my mind, if a man wants to serve, somebody wants to serve God, they can serve the Lord, and God will help them. Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. I really do. It doesn't, the finery of life doesn't make the Christian, neither does the destituteness, if that's even a word, of life make the Christian. The Christian is made, as our brother's been preaching, by Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to preach to you the burden of my heart this morning. And I understand there's another brother scheduled, and so I want to redeem the time and preach to you my burden and then allow this brother an opportunity also. And I really want to talk to us from a very familiar passage of Scripture found in the 10th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel. And for the sake of time, I want to read verse 50 and desire your prayers this morning that I can preach the burden of my heart just like the Lord would have me to. And then also We desire your prayers. Brother Thomas is scheduled. Thomas Green is scheduled to be preaching in Mexico Wednesday, the Lord willing. They're driving down, as Brother Darrell mentioned to you, on Monday. And the Lord will, he'll be preaching in Wednesday night in Mexico. So do pray for Brother Thomas and his interpreter. Praise the Lord. His interpreter is preaching to you this morning. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Would you stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, please? Hallelujah. Let's just read verse 50. Obviously, Bible readers, this is the story of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, and his speaking and interaction with Christ. But verse 50 tells us, and he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. I'd like to talk to us just for a few moments today on the thought, cast away the beggar's garment. Amen. Just cast away. And I know you've heard this preached numerous times, no doubt. Cast away the beggar's garment this morning. Praise the Lord. How many know that hearing the voice of the Lord, God speaks to our heart? Spirit of God moves on us. The voice of Christ speaks to us. It moves us to an action. Praise God. When God speaks, I mean, the Bible tells us that all things that are, that were created and exist this moment, they are and they exist and were created by the spoken word of God. So God's word will cause an action. Amen. Not only in things and not only in the material aspect of our lives, but it also will cause a action in us. Praise God. Glory be to God. And I really want to react positively when I hear the voice of the Lord. I want to draw near to God when He speaks to my heart. And as we've heard this preaching, wonderful, stirring preaching this morning, I want to react to that. I want to draw near. Amen. With a heart of faith and a determination to be more Christ-like. Praise God in these last days. Thank God. But I'd like to call your attention to several things that I've mentioned, two or three things, and I'll just preach these briefly due to time constraints this morning. Amen. And I'm just saying that for my benefit, I suppose, more than anything else today. But I'd like to call your attention to three things that I noticed of this casting away of the garment of Bartimaeus. And to me, what it spoke to my heart and what to me it signified by him arising at the voice of God and by him standing and casting off this garment and coming to Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. I noticed, first of all, you remember, and we're acquainted with Bartimaeus. How long he was in this situation of blindness, I don't know. One writer tells us that there were two blind men. But here in this particular passage of Scripture, Mark is focused on Bartimaeus, praise God, and how he reacted and what he did upon hearing the voice of God and the voice of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. But I notice here that when Bartimaeus heard the voice of Christ, and he arose, and he began to move, and he took off that beggar's garment. In my mind, brother, it was an expression. Praise God, an expression. Amen, of a joyful boldness. Amen, on the part of Bartimaeus. You see, he had been blind, and I will assume this morning, from his birth. And Brother Edsel so ably and nobly this morning begin to express to us of blindness and what it is and what it is not, and our attempts and our feeble attempts to grasp what it is to be a deaf and or a dumb individual, not able to speak nor hear. Amen. How long Bartimaeus was in this situation,
I don't know, but I'll assume from life. And the Bible tells us that as Christ began to pass by, he in some manner recognized Jesus for whom he is. Amen. And for what he was able to do. I would to God we could recognize the voice of God for what it is and what he's able to do. Amen. If we would just arise to the occasion. Praise the Lord. But I find this Bartimaeus heard the voice of Christ. Amen. And there's so much to preach here, but the Bible tells us that hearing his voice, he arose, amen, with a joyful boldness. Amen. With a joyful boldness in his heart that finally he would have an opportunity to be delivered from the very thing that's held him captive, perhaps all of his natural life. Wouldn't you like to leave this service delivered and set free from that that has held you captive for years, perhaps? I mean, during my pastoral years, I remember dealing with men and women that were bound by things, and I don't want to just preach the obvious today, but there were men that went under the name of Christian and men that were saved and members of the church, yet they were bound by situations and bound by circumstances, amen, habits and such, not only the physical, but they were bound by mental challenges. And amen, I don't mean they were, you know, mentally challenged. I just mean that there was things that they wrestled with in their minds that hindered them from fulfilling the will of God in their life. Would you like to leave today delivered from that this morning? Would you like to leave and go back to your respected place of ministry, your respective church, your job, or whatever the case may be this morning, and set free from the things that have held you bound? I don't know, but I can see Bartimaeus in my mind, my brother, wanting deliverance from this for a long time. And I can hear you speaking to me, so have I. Bartimaeus have went through, he had desired deliverance, he had desired to hear and erred rather to see with his own eyes the things that others, that so many have taken for granted. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there are people under the sound of our voice that we preach to, that we minister to, that are bound, they are hindered. Amen. They are shackled today. Amen, my brother. But I've come to declare that Christ of Calvary, the chain breaker, amen, the liberator is in our midst this morning, and he's able to speak the words of deliverance, amen. And so when Bartimaeus heard Christ call his name, and he heard those that were around him, you know, telling him to be of good comfort, that he calleth for thee, brother, Bartimaeus immediately arose with a joyful boldness, even to say, finally, I can be set free. I appreciate the theme of this, sir, of this meeting this week. It seems to me in my mind the whole theme from the Thursday night to this very moment has been dealing with our reputations, been dealing, amen, with who we think we are, our own perceptions, amen, who we think we really are. And yet all this, all the preaching these men have preached so ably, trying to get us, amen, to see ourselves in the light of eternity, to see us in the light of Christ, amen, not who we see in the mirror, but in the mirror of God, not that hangs on the wall or in the bathroom, but in the mirror of God's word and who we really are, amen, and what we really are facing today. And I've come to declare to you, as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, and as the presence of God moves in throughout these services, and these great men get anointed, and the Holy Ghost comes into the service, that you'll hear the voice of the Lord, that you'll arise from your pew, amen, forgetting who you are, forgetting what your name is, forgetting what your position is, and recognizing that you need deliverance, and that the deliverer has come, and he's called your name. Amen. And he's come and he's called your name. Praise God. Notice he said, be of good comfort, for he calleth for thee. Praise God. He's heard your cry in the midnight hour. He's heard your cries. You sat by the wayside begging. He's heard your cries. You've sat on the pew wanting deliverance and not really understanding how to go about it to receive it. But I'd like to declare to you, he has come and he's calling your name this morning. Amen. Bartimaeus, what a picture of the depravity of man. No vision, no way to sustain himself, and no way to lift himself up. What an awful sight of the depravity of man. Amen. But I've come to declare that there's one walking among us this morning. There's one walking among us today, my brothers. Amen. That has come to deliver and to set free. Praise God. If we will only arise and cast off our beggar's garment. If we will only arise without fear. Amen. If we will only arise when he speaks to us and come to these old-fashioned altars. Amen. Without fear or favor. Recognizing our own need in the presence of the Almighty. And finding ourselves set free today. Amen. The Bible tells us in the Word of God, let us therefore come boldly. Notice the word boldly here. Amen. Let us come. Who? Humanity, depravity, the deprived humans. Amen. Deprived men and women. Amen. Men and women that sit on our pew that really have not reached their full potential because of the bow of the chains of their own mind. Amen. My Lord. But the Word of God tells us, let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. My brother, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Thank God. Job tells us, amen, but thou shalt be secure. Notice this word, secure, the key word. Amen. In Hebrews, it's boldly, and amen. Here in Job, it thou shalt be secure. Why? Because there is hope. Thank God your case ain't hopeless. Your case isn't beyond hope. Your case isn't beyond help. Amen. There is help for you in this altar this morning if you will only arise when he calls your name. Word of God tells us in Ephesians, in whom we have boldness and access, thank God, two key words, with confidence by faith in him. Thank God. Faith, confidence, hope, here it is again. I'll tell you, you're not a hopeless case. Your situation is not a hopeless situation. You can obtain and do what the Lord wants you to do if you can only be set free in your mind to fulfill the will of God. Amen. It was an expression of a holy, amen, of a joyful boldness that finally he was going to be set free of the very things that had him bound and captive for years. Amen. Praise God. Not only that, but it was an expression, brother. Thank God. This morning his casting off of that beggar's garment was an expression. Praise the Lord. Thank God, my brother. For lack of a better way to express it this morning, amen, of a blazing opportunity. Thank God, don't let it pass you by. Don't let it slip past you. Our brother priest missed opportunity or words like that, I believe, last night. Thank God. Oh, my brother, I want to tell you today, friend, don't let this opportunity slip through your fingertips. Don't let, you've been crying for years. You've been crying for months. You've been crying and weeping. Somebody help me. Would somebody hear me? Would somebody come to my rescue? Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Listen to David as he's talking to Abinadab. Amen. The high priest. Amen. Where's your sword, David? Where's all your other garments that you normally, all your weapons that you normally take? Well, I'll tell you the truth here, high priest. Amen. The king's bend is required haste, and I just had to come with what I had on and dressed and just like I was. I would to God somebody had come just like they are this very moment. Bring your chains with you and come to the altar. Amen. Bring your inhibitions with you and come to the altar. Thank God. Bring your blindness with you and fall down at the feet of Christ. My God, why don't you come and just bring just as you are without fear nor favor? Amen. Just cast off the beggar's garment and reveal who you really are and receive help from God today. Amen. Oh, listen. Thank God. Listen. Praise the Lord. Zacchaeus. Amen. What did he tell him? Zacchaeus, make haste. Thank God. The opportunity's here for you, Zacchaeus. Make haste. Come down. For today I must dwell in your house. Are you going to let this other opportunity pass you by? He's come by. You've heard of him many of times. Other services have come and gone. Are you going to allow this chance to slip by? Amen. And finally tonight, finally this morning, praise God, it was an expression, amen, praise God, when he took off that garment and he arose from that boy's side, amen. And he laid that old beggar's garment. Everybody knows what that garment was. Just like in the Old Testament, there was a garment that the daughters of the king wore, signifying and identifying them. So the beggars wore a particular garment. If I understood what I've read correctly, he been identifying them with the beggar. When he took off that garment, the word of God tells me, and what it spoke to my heart was, it was a casting away of every hindrance. It was a casting away of every hindrance to reach to Christ. Do you know that if you know the truth, the Word of God tells us you shall know the truth. And what will happen? The truth will set you free. If you will really come clean this morning with the Almighty, if you will really just fess up, as we say in the South, amen, what your real situation is without a bit of hypocrisy, if you will just truly come clean this morning, you can know the truth, acknowledge the truth, and be set free. Free today. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. In Philippians, we find in the Word of God tells us, but notice these key words that I'll bring out to you, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Amen. Key word, loss. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. Second time around in this same passage. Amen. 3:7-8. Amen. Loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, in whom I have suffered the loss of all. Amen. And do count them as but dung for one thing only, that I might win Christ. Amen. Brother, that is the ultimate goal, is having victory in Christ. It's not who I am. It's not what my name is. It's not my brothers. Amen. Where I attend service. But it's more importantly that I win Christ and I have eternal victory in my heart. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us, Mark 5:27. I got a couple more passages, and I'm going to just preach to you the real burden of my heart this morning. I've just been building up to it. Praise God. We find here, amen, in Mark 5, you know the story so well of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said when she was found out, when she touched but the hem of his garment, and he turned and asking, who touched me? My brother, why is it that it's obvious to everybody but you? Everybody sees it, but you. Everybody recognizes where you are but you. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm telling you, I feel the power of God walking these halls, walking around these altars this morning. Amen. Everybody sees it but you. Everybody recognizes where you are but you. You've deceived yourself so long, you just go on like nothing's wrong when everybody can tell. Everybody sees it. Pastors, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody sees it. Moms, dads, everybody sees it. It's amazing, isn't it, Brother Darrell, when the children just act like they're getting something over mom and dad. Unfortunately, I've had to tell sometime, you know, you've never been a 52-year-old daddy, but I have been a 20-year-old young person before. Praise God. Come on, saints. Amen. The Bible tells us when Christ turned around and said, who touched my garment? The Word of God said this woman came fearful and trembling, amen, and told him all. Praise God. She pressed her way prior to that through the multitude. Amen. You're going to have to press. Yeah, it's going to take something on your part. Yeah, it's going to take a little something on your part. But oh, how many that when they've come and they've come clean and were delivered, they were so glad they'd done it. Amen. When they fell down at the feet of Christ and were delivered, amen, of their infirmities and of their chains, my brother, they were so glad they come, that they endured it, that they pressed through, that they despised
caused the shame, amen, and now are sitting at the right hand of God with the victory. The Bible said she pressed her way through the multitude and touched Christ.
We read in Mark 14 or Matthew 14, amen, what the Bible tells us, amen, that when Peter asked the Lord, said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And he said, well, just come then. Praise God, in spite of all the opposition, in spite of the waves and the storm, and there's so much to preach here, but you get the point this morning, amen. The Bible said he just stepped out of the boat and said, I believe I'll go. That's what you really want to do. You've really wanted to this whole meeting. I felt that this whole entire meeting, amen, that you've really wanted to come, but you're hindered. You've really wanted the deliverance and wanted victory in your heart. Amen, you're not a stranger to it. You've been around it all your life, but something has bound you. Something, amen, has gripped your heart, gripped your mind, and you do not have the victory that you desire.
But I'm telling you, he's speaking to you. Why don't you just step out of the boat this morning? In spite of the waves, in spite of the wind, in spite of all the torment, in spite of everything of who's here and who's not, I'll tell you, saints of God, inside, if I could just be so kind this morning and just rope all you guys in with me this morning here, deep inside, beyond this coat, deep inside, amen, then my heart, we're all one, we're all humanity, we all desire the same thing, we all have the same hopes, the same desire. One thing I've noticed in five countries of preaching the gospel, humanity, human nature has the same desire no matter where it was born or what language it speaks. There's something in man that wants to know its creator. There's something in man that wants victory that only God can bring. And I've come to declare to you this morning, he's come, Bartimaeus, and he's calling your name. Be of good cheer, arise, cast off the beggar's garment, and receive that the Lord would have you to receive this morning.
Here it is. Here it is. Bartimaeus' issue was his blindness and all the things we could go ahead and preach around the whole scenario of this passage of scripture, these five or six verses. But here it is, what the Lord spoke to my heart about. Fear. Fear has got you so bound. Fear has got you so bound. You cannot do the will of God for fear. For fear. Now, brother, I'm not talking about something in the figment of our imagination. How easy it is to say, oh, just forget it. Get over it. It ain't that easy. Hello. Might be for you, but those that are going through it, it is a reality. It is a real reality. It is a reality. Amen. But I've come to declare to you this morning, there is a Christ of Calvary that will set you free of that fear that has got you so bound up. Amen. I'm just going to try to go through and name some things that kind of come to my mind. I don't know. You just fill in the blank of where you are this morning. Fear, amen, of the unknown is the worst kind in my mind that there is. I remember in 2010 when all that violence in Mexico took off. I'm telling you, Brother Larry Landers, such a fear gripped my heart. I'm telling you, I'm over in that border. I'm over, I don't know. To me, it's Mexico. Going to Mexico is about like going to Walmart. I do it so much, go soft, I don't even think about it anymore. But I was thinking about it in 2010 when MM16s was up in my face. Huh? When those AK-47s and all them drug cartels. Amen. Just when, I mean, I had Brother Neil, and I don't know how many, I didn't tell him all about this, but we had decided to slam on brakes in my van and let a whole convoy of Gulf cartel people come out of a little colonial, little neighborhood, amen, and had it wrote on the window to identify which group they were with, and to slam on brakes to keep from hitting them. And I'm telling you, a fear gripped me. A fear got a hold of me, brother. It was surreal. I'm telling you, this was back March. That following year at the preacher's meeting, I went just about a nervous wreck, brother. I'm telling you, I went and I said, God, I have got to have help in this meeting. I've got to know this fear is killing me. I'm telling you, I can't preach to my benefit. I can't, I'm scared to go across. I don't want to take my family. I don't want to go, amen. I need help, God. I need help, God. I need help from God on this situation. And I'm telling you, I remember as I was praying in my hotel room during that meeting, Randy Webb was going to preach that night. Amen. And I was praying, God, I got to have some something from God tonight. I got to hear from God tonight. Amen. And I'm telling you, the Lord spoke, said, when Webb preaches, I'm going to talk to you. Amen. And so Webb got to preaching. Brother Randy, I don't mean to be disrespectful. He and I are such good friends. I hope that's okay. Amen. When he got to preaching, I'm telling you, God got to talking to my heart. And do you know what the very aspect, I mean, God summed it up and allowed me to know exactly what the fear was. Man, you can name it anything you want to. You can put your label on. I went with all kind of ideas thinking, what God, what, how you going to deliver me? How you going to help me from this? And you know, the Lord's really got an amazing way of kind of putting his finger on things, doesn't he? He asked me one question, Brother Lamb. One question. And that question was, Brother Rich, why are you afraid to die? Now that probably don't do much for you. But I'm telling you, God put it right on the very spot. I was scared to die, brother. I didn't know it. I really didn't comprehend it. All I know was it was just something to get a hold of me every time. I'd lay it awake for 2 nights prior going down into Mexico driving. And some of you's been down there, but I'm going to tell you it ain't what it was when you went probably. And I'd lay awake staring at the ceiling just petrified. And the whole idea was the fear of death. Now I'm going to relate something else to you here. This is going back. I'm going to take you back. I don't know, 20, 30 years, whatever it was. I don't really remember now. But I remember setting myself to seek the Lord. You know, I chose to fast for a little while. And I was, during that time, I was reading Fox's Book of Martyrs, as I'm sure all of you have read, or the majority of you haven't. You ought to. And I was reading that, and I distinctly remembered I was reading about Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna. And when they come for him, he said, give me an hour to pray. Y'all remember that? And as he went and prayed, you know, said the glory of God come down and all that. But anyway, fast forward, and when they had him, had the stake and had him on there at the stake, you know, and they set fire and all these different things, how he just embraced it. Run to it. Embraced the very thing that was going to kill him. I'm telling you, brother, that got a hold of me. I ain't ate no food for 3 days, so you know how it is. And I'm thinking, how in the world can a human being, when there's a stake, a post, if you will, firewood all around it, chains to hold him, tied him there, and then a guy with the oil and someone with the flame, and them run and embrace the very thing that's going to destroy them. How is that possible? I got to hold him to God. How can I do it? How can that happen, Lord? How can a human being endure such things? And I want to tell you, there is no way to express it to you, but I'll do my very best. How long? I don't know. Minutes, seconds? I don't know. But there comes such a peace of God over my heart. Such a peace of God over my heart that for a moment of time I understood that when the moment comes and the very instant that I need the grace of God sufficiently, He will provide it. And for a moment I had the heart of Polycarp and I understood how they embraced it. And I've come to tell you, if you'll cast off your garment this morning and expose yourself to the Almighty without fear or favor and just come clean with God, there'll be such a great peace of God come over to your heart. Amen, that you would be able to do the will of God, whatever it may be. And I'm not saying you go to Mexico. That's not what I'm saying. But whatever it is, amen, the Lord has placed in your heart. I'm telling you, the fear of what you'll wear, the fear of what you'll drive, or the fear of what you'll not wear or not drive, amen, has got your mind so captivated and you're so bound up by that, amen, that you come just like a man in a straitjacket you cannot fulfill and do the will of God because fear has so gripped your heart, amen. But I've come to tell you this morning, amen, and if you'll come and cast off your beggar's garment, amen, and demonstrate to the Lord you're willing, amen, to be made willing, if that's all right, if you'll come down, amen, and come clean with God and say, now, God, I got to have help. It's me, oh, Lord, as we chanted, amen, and back the preacher last night, pouring out, thank God, pouring out to God, the Almighty God, it's me, and here's my fear. This is what I'm afraid of. This is the ridicule that I'm scared of. These are the things that's got me bound, and I won't deliver it. And I won't deliver it. The Bible said when Bartimaeus, and I'm closing right now, when Bartimaeus come down to the altar or come down to the feet of Christ, him and the Lord said, "What would you have that I do for you?" Can I tell you this morning? You got his attention. You have his attention. He has stopped the whole procession. Amen. His whole meeting. And I don't know how you other brethren feel it, but this is my perception of it. This whole meeting has been surrounded this one generalized idea. Amen. That our humanity and reputation, our humility or the lack thereof or whatever, how you want to express that. Amen. And our reputations are the very things that are hindering us. Amen. We've lived a good sanctified life on the outside. Amen. And we've done and we lived and everybody knows us and we know everybody. Amen. But you're bound this morning. God wants to set you free. God, the Almighty, wants to set you free this morning. And Bartimaeus, I implore you, and one more time, as you're standing this morning, I implore you, Bartimaeus, will you cast off the beggar's garment and come at the feet of Christ? What do you want me to do, Bartimaeus? I want my sight. That's the one thing I went to that preacher's meeting for. God, I got to have help. If I'm a missionary, I got to be delivered of this fear. God, I cannot be all I need to be and do what I need to do here with this fear that has so captivated my mind. I got to have some deliverance. Amen. And when God put his finger on it, said, it's the fear of death. Amen. It's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of dying. I'm telling you, brothers. Amen. I'm just preaching. I'm so transparent. I'm just preaching to you the reality and the burden of my heart this morning. I was scared to death of that bullet, brother. But I'm telling you, did it happen that night? No. I'm going to tell you, no, it wasn't that moment. Brother Darrell, but he told me what it was, and he gave me an opportunity to get it worked out. I'm telling you, that was in, what, January of 2011? I've been going to Mexico ever since. I've told my wife. She, let's face it, my wife's a wonderful woman. I wish she was here, and I know this is going on the internet. That's kind of scary in itself, isn't it? Amen. Some of you have come and preached. Well, maybe not here, but some of you brethren have come some via the internet or whatever. And I've walked around in that very kitchen that y'all was measuring 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Lord, help us. Help these brothers, Lord. Give us grace. Help us, God, in these meetings. These brothers are coming, Lord, and they're trusting me, and I'm trusting you. And that same peace of God had touched my heart. Go ahead, ain't a thing going to happen. When they'd call me, amen, and I could hear it in the voice, Brother Lamb. I could hear it in the voice. I would reassure them with a voice that was not my own. Come on, brothers. God's going to go with us. And could I tell you, Brother Leon, one meeting we preached, they told me after the fact, said, you didn't know it, Brother Mike, but it was way out in one of them little country villages. Said, you didn't know it, but the son-in-law of one of our pastors here, he's the plaza boss, as they call it. And his daughter was going to be, or his wife rather, was going to be in that meeting. So he had his lieutenants running patrol out there and keeping everybody off of you. Bartimaeus, would you cast off your garment this morning? Bartimaeus, would you cast it off this morning and ask God to deliver you? Amen. Let's pray right now that I'm going to turn the service back to Brother Darrell. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, help them, Jesus. Cast off that garment. Be delivered. Give you all the glory.